Good morning, Land Profiter.
Good morning.
It's great to see you. I hope you're warming up. A little bit, at least. I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 10, if you want to turn there. Hebrews chapter 10. The thought of paddling in the sea this morning made my toes curl a little bit, and I don't think I'm going to get feeling back in them while I speak to you. So, Hebrews chapter 10, and I'm going to read from verse 19. It says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching." I want to just focus your attention for a few moments on Hebrews 10, verse 23. "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." It's my intention over the next few weeks in the run-up to Christmas to talk to you about hope, because I think it's the most hope-filled time of the year. And Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 is really straightforward. Hold on to hope because God's faithful. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 13 says, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself." God's character is faithfulness. And Psalm 33 and verse 4 says, "The word of the Lord is upright and all his work is done in faithfulness." Psalm 86 and verse 15, "But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth and it stands fast." Psalm 119 and verse 90. And Lamentations 3 and verse 22 says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." And I understand that most of that is not new for any of you. It's not a revelation this morning for me to tell you God is faithful. It's not brand new information. We sing about it. We talk about it. Some of you have been coming to this building for decades. You know something of the faithfulness of God. But I wonder if our challenge is our understanding of the faithfulness of God doesn't necessarily relate to our lives sometimes. And our tendency is to place human expectations on the God we serve, to anthropomorphize God, if I was using the technical term. We're actually, our expectation is we'll end up disappointed. Because our experience of people is we've been disappointed. We've had lots of people as part of our lives make promises, tell us they were going to do something, commit to be something, and it hasn't happened. And in light of that, we come to God with some of that baggage. In an article in Psychology Today, titled Why We Can't Keep Our Promises, says there are a number of commonly understood reasons promises are broken, including that our feelings, capacity, or circumstances have changed over time. What psychology today suggests is that your feeling, capacities, or circumstances have changed over time. And that's the reason that most people don't fulfill the intention of their word. Because lots of people start out with good intentions, right? They said they were going to do something and they meant it at the time. I have said I was going to do some things. And I sincerely meant them. And I didn't do them. And apparently that's either because my feelings, capacities, or circumstances changed over time. Isn't that a blessing to know we come to a God who does not change? Malachi 3:6, I, the Lord, do not change. And in that, his love for you doesn't change. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. Psalm 136 repeatedly says, his love endures forever. His feeling isn't changing. He loves you. That's it. And his capacity to fulfill his promises don't change. Lamentations 5:19 says, you, Lord, rule forever. Your throne endures from generation to generation. Psalm 66 and verses 5 to 7. Come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for mankind. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. He rules forever. He's capable. And circumstances don't change his ability to fulfill his promise. It's a staggering statement in Joshua 21, verse 43. It says, so the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors, and they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their ancestors. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord gave them all their enemies into their hands. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Everyone was fulfilled. Not one of the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one of them was fulfilled. It's a staggering statement when you think about it. Because most of you know the story. You know the disobedience, the constant complaints. Genesis 15. That's when God promises to give the Israelites this land. It's when he makes a covenant with Abraham. It's 25 years later that Abraham gives birth to Isaac. Abraham doesn't give birth to him, obviously. You know, Sarah did that. But before Abraham has a son called Isaac, Isaac has Jacob. Jacob has Joseph. Joseph takes his family into Egypt. They're in Egypt for 400 years. This is some time ago that God said, I'm going to give these people the land. Moses led the children out of Egypt. Led them to the promised land and they went, no. And yet not one of the Lord's good promises to Israel failed.
Not one of them. I mean, if it was me, I think I'd have good reason to abandon the plan. But not one of the Lord's good promises to Israel has failed. In spite of the journey they've been on, in spite of the time that's elapsed, in spite of all that's gone on in the midst of that, the individual's failures, not one of them failed. God is faithful in a way that sometimes we neglect to understand. He's more faithful than your spouse. The most faithful person who's committed to you in your life, he's more faithful than them. The people who have bent over backwards to be there, he's more faithful. He's never going to change. There's some stuff that some of you can't do now that you could do, not through choice, but just through age. Doesn't happen to him. He's able to do everything. Always. And because God is faithful, the writer to the Hebrews says, hold unswervingly to the hope you profess. Hold unswervingly to it. Because hope is based in God's faithfulness. There's a danger sometimes that hope is seen as a sort of optimism. A nice idea. A way to sort of see things in a happy ending. We almost view hope as the sort of Disney way out of things. And they all lived happily ever after. It's not actually hope. I often find myself in conversations listening to people talk about how things might work out positively. And what's going on in my head is, that is absolutely not going to happen. What comes out of my mouth is, yeah, I hope so. And that's often how hope is seen. We're really not convinced by it. But, you know, we're willing to be surprised. Romans 4 and verse 18 says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Hope is not a denial of reality. Hope is not a denial of reality. Abraham faces the fact his body's as good as dead. Sarah's womb is dead. Abraham is older than anybody else in the room here today when he conceives a son. He's older than any of us. You know how you feel this morning? He's got a few years on all of us. He's not unaware of the ridiculous nature of this prospect. It's not that he's dismissing the fact that this is crazy. He faces the fact his body is as good as dead. He recognizes Sarah's womb's also dead. Because hope doesn't deny the reality of my circumstances. And yet he is persuaded, in spite of the reality of the challenge, God is able. He is fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. It's not really complicated. This is what God's promised. He's got the power to do that. That's it. He's faithful to everything that he's promised. His commitment is to fulfill his word in your life. Everything that he's spoken will come to pass. Every promise he's made will be fulfilled. But we're not here denying the reality. Sometimes we've got to face the fact. This needs the power of God to transform the situation. It's not an optimistic outlook. It recognizes the reality of life. It recognizes the challenges of the circumstances you face. It recognizes the difficulties there is. And yet it understands that no obstacle can stop him. That if you're 100 and your body's as good as dead, and your wife's womb is dead, and you haven't had children when you wanted them, in your childbearing years, when you haven't conceived at a time where it would be normal to, it's not a preventative to God doing what he wants. It's not an obstacle to him fulfilling his purpose. So we hold on to hope because he's faithful. Because he's faithful. And hope helps us to walk through the reality. Hope helps us to walk through the reality. Hope gives me a reason to rejoice. Often circumstances don't. But what's coming is going to be better. So Romans 12:12 says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer. Psalm 42:11. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. It gives me a reason to rejoice.
Amen.
There will be a day when there is no more tears, no more sickness, no more challenge. When I see him face to face, when the stuff inside of me that hurts, that gives me anxiety, that causes me distress, is all dealt with.
Yeah.
I'm going to rejoice in that. I'm going to celebrate that that is coming.
Yeah.
I'm going to proclaim that.
Yeah.
Hope forces me to lift my eyes beyond the present reality.
Yeah.
Hebrews 11, verse 13 says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the thing promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they'd been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. I'm looking forward to something. I'm looking forward to something. My eyes are not focused on the immediate circumstances. I'm lifting my eyes to what's in front of me. The challenge of what I'm walking through does not diminish what's in front of me. And I hold on to hope because it will be fulfilled. It will be fulfilled. If he said it, it's happening. Nothing he said in your life won't come to pass. God makes a promise to Abraham. Centuries later, Joshua 21:45 tells me all of his promises to Israel were fulfilled. Not one of them failed. He promises Abraham in Genesis 15, I'm going to give your descendants this land. And in all the twists and turns, all of the mess, brothers who despised each other. I mean, the way the purpose of God works out in those situations is utterly staggering. Yet not one of his promises failed. God's faithful. And I know you know that. But it's also worth reminding yourself regularly. It is something to dwell upon. It is a thing to celebrate all of the time. God is faithful. In the mess, in the challenge, when I fail, he's still faithful. If I'm faithless, he is still faithful. when it seems to make absolutely no sense and I've got no idea what he's doing, how it's working out, or how it will work out. He's faithful.
Yeah.
Whatever you're believing him for, whatever he said that you're holding on to right now, whatever hope you have of what he's spoken, it'll happen. Not because we're brilliant and we can do that, but because he's faithful. That's it. And so as we consider hope over the next few weeks, I want you to be assured of the faithfulness of God. I want you to hold unswervingly to the hope you profess. I don't want you to wonder some days, will it? Won't it? Might it? Could it? We play a game often with ourselves. I think anyway. It might just be a personal reflection. About how. How. How can it? It's not my job to know. The thing I'm resting in is that it will. I don't know how sometimes. I'm not sure when. But it will. I might welcome something from a distance. But I can rest in his faithfulness to fulfill what he's promised. I might not see it all. But he will do it.